it's done.
Connor McDavid! It's not real!
The goal of the year?
Panarin!
Part of the past. The celebrations? Forgotten. The history?
Vegas Golden Knights!
History. We're back to a blank slate. Clean ice. All that matters now is what happens next. The Stanley Cup Playoffs.
Eastern Conference Final begins Wednesday.
Another day is here, and you're ready for it. What to wear? Check. Breakfast, lunch, and dinner? Check. Planning for what's next and how to save for it? That's where Bank of America can help. For your financial to-dos, Bank of America has experts ready to help get you closer to your goals. Get started at one of our local financial centers or 24-7 in our mobile banking app. Find a location near you at bankofamerica.com/talktous. What would you like the power to do? Mobile banking requires downloading the app and is only available for select devices. Message and data rates may apply. Bank of America NA, member FDIC.
Talking!
Come on, you yellows. Flying high below this Wembley archway sky today.
Welcome to the original. The Talker United Yellow Army podcast, brought to you each week by Guy Henderson of Radio X and Richard Hughes of the Herald Express and Devon Live.
Thanks, Guy. And what do?
We talk you through the latest news from Playmore. We chat to the people making the news around the club. You can find us on the Devon Live and Radio X websites, on Spotify, on iTunes, and wherever you normally get your podcasts.
Welcome to the Yellow Army podcast on a beautiful spring day in May.
The sun's out.
The window cleaner's hard at work. The dogs have been banished.
Banished to nannies.
Because
the window cleaner is here and they would bark for England or Scotland and Wales and Ireland.
We have much to discuss today, although nothing much has happened.
Nothing's happened, to be fair. According to... What am I trying to say, Guy? I've lost it already. Missing the dogs. Nothing's happened in respect of the takeover.
No.
That we have been told.
Yet. We should point out that it's 5 past 11 on Thursday morning.
And you know what's going to happen.
And you know exactly what's going to happen. But as at the time of speaking, nothing's happened. But you have written a piece, which people may not have seen yet, in Herald Express. It's also on Devon Live, which is 11 questions, which I think will be useful to write.
11 questions with kind of... tentative answers.
We think we know the exact makeup of National League South
next
season, providing it is Boreham Wood and Dorking come down. We'll talk about that in a bit. We'll have a little bit of a chat about a great gull who died this week. We'll talk about the women's team and how unlucky they were not to get something out of that game.
Yeah, that's an extraordinary game, it sounded like.
There's a big match coming up at Stoke Gabriel tomorrow night, and... there's much to discuss.
Even
though there's been no football. And as you say, no announcement at all.
No announcement. Yet. We're not expecting an announcement. I put in a couple of calls on Tuesday morning when I was putting together the Herald Express.
I see.
No one had anything for me. Or off the record even. Even off the record, there was nothing.
I'm thinking at some point in the next week or so, there's going to be a press conference. We're going to get a call to Playmore or somewhere.
You would hope so.
And the new owners will introduce
I'm themselves. Fairly confident that if Mr. Westcott and co, the Bryn consortium, get the club, then they will do a press conference. I don't think there would have been a press conference if other people had got the club. But
no. But there's got to be some kind of
introduction. Yeah, of course there has. I mean, you know, that's... the way you do these things.
So let's round up who's in the division, first of all. We did the list last week. We're pretty sure that Boreham Wood and Dorking will be the two relegated teams.
I think they've been... they've been announced now as...
Have they?
Yeah.
Oh, well, there you go. We were right all along. Worthing stay with us.
I think I saw on Twitter yesterday something come up that... was the constitution, for the official constitution for next season. They call it a constitution when they release a division.
So Worthing stay with us because Worthing lost in the National League South playoff final to Braintree. Yep. A 108th minute diving header by Reggie Lamb.
I watched the first half, to be fair, and then I went out. it wasn't a great advert for National League South football that first half.
There was one fantastic goal in it as well, though, wasn't there? There was a long shot.
Yes.
I can't remember who it was now, but it was one of the Braintree goals. Braintree done it the hard way. They had to play three games.
Yeah, and, here we go. They won both their quarterfinal and their semi-final.
Yeah.
After 0-0 draws.
Yeah. That's,
they didn't score a goal to get to the final, and then they won the final.
They'd beaten Bath and they beat Chelmsford.
Yeah, both
on the way.
Yeah,
extra time.
Yeah, both in extra time.
And in the coming up from beneath, coming up from the Southern Premier, Salisbury beat Totten on penalties.
I'm
after
amazed
a 2-1 draw.
That Salisbury are coming up.
Really?
Yeah. They'll go straight back down.
So they'll join us along with Chesham. From
so Totten were the best second best team in that division by Scott Rendell manager by a mile. The fact that Salisbury beat them. Salisbury have been rubbish good over the last couple of years, and I kind of keep an eye on them because obviously they play Tiverton quite often here in that division. So I kind of know the strengths of and depths of that division and the weaknesses and not the best team in that division.
They might surprise us.
Well, they might. I've now given them every hope.
It's a nice little ground as well.
Yeah.
Nice place to go and watch your football. And from the Isthmian League, up come Enfield.
It may be irrational, but I've got like an older shot thing with Salisbury. I just don't like
that. That is irrational.
Yeah.
Up from the Isthmian League come Enfield Town.
Mm-hmm.
They come up with Horsham. They beat Chatham 3-0.
They did, yeah. Mm-hmm. And as I said last week, the only time I've been to Enfield was for a funeral.
So the four new teams in the league, Enfield, Horsham, Salisbury and Chesham, only one of them we've never played.
Oh, which
one is
that?
You know which
one
it is? Alexa doesn't know.
She doesn't know either.
She doesn't know a thing.
Is it Horsham?
It is Horsham.
Yeah.
Correct. We lost to Enfield in the FA Cup in 1994.
Mm, remember that.
We've played Salisbury four times while we've been down around. In our first season, relegated from the Football League back in 2008 or whenever it
was. Were they up
there was
then?
A bank
were
holiday
they?
Game
yeah.
When we all went up to Salisbury. Yeah. And Chesham, we played three times in the FA Trophy. The last time we beat them in 2020.
I've been to Chesham a couple of times because I used to ride around London and I ended up in Chesham one day.
By accident?
No,
or by
design? I used to just days off, bored.
Get
where
on
should
the bike,
I go today? Get on the bike, just aim it in a direction. And if you live in London, you can aim it in any direction. If you're in Torquay, you're going to get very wet if you do that.
So your 11 questions.
Yeah.
Which I think bear some talking about. First one, are we going to go part-time?
And that's that's one of the biggest questions, isn't it?
Michael Westcott has spoken about that,
and
it leads into the next question, which is a sort of a hybrid model.
Yeah.
Some part-time, some full-time.
I don't think it's worth labelling it. I think it'll be... I suppose being full-time has its own kind of merit.
Yeah.
You know, here we are, we're staying full-time, etc. But I bet some of the wages that some of the players were on last week were almost part-time wages.
Probably.
Last season.
Yeah.
They've got the Gold's Lodge, so you've got young players who can stay in the Gold's Lodge, and I think there were some older players who originally were in the Gold's Lodge until they found their own circumstances. And with that, you're not looking for rent.
No.
You know, so you can pay these players a little bit less because they want to play full-time football. It'll end up being hybrid, I think.
Yeah.
I think.
I mean, they can go out the kind of.
What I think Mr. Westcott and Co. will try to avoid is labelling it part time.
Yeah.
So it'll probably be full time, but with some players
hybrid on
wages that aren't necessarily full time wages.
But I mean, they can work as fitness instructors.
Yeah.
There's all kinds of things that they can do. It's interesting. It's an interesting concept. It won't be the same as we've been this year.
Your players, like, from last season, I'm not saying that they'll be around next season. That's another question we talk about. But Asa Hall and Dean Moxey, family people with young kids, etc., those kind of players, they're the ones that need full-time wages.
Yeah.
Otherwise, you might lose them to, you know, another full-time team. I'm not saying those particular players, but that kind of category of player.
And the next question is, are they going to have to take a cut in wages? Because Gaming International were obviously paying wages at a certain level.
At a certain level.
We don't know what they were paying.
No, but they were obviously
competitive.
They were obviously competitive for a couple of seasons. I'm not sure how competitive they were in the last season. I think the budget dropped considerably.
But it may have to drop again.
Yeah.
It may well have to drop
again. It may well have to. You don't know how much money the Sprint Consortium is going to have to actually play with.
We might be being unnecessarily pessimistic.
They might
be minted.
There's five people on the board of Scoring Goals Limited who obviously is... There were four people when we spoke last week.
Yeah.
Someone else has been added to it since. So, okay. So Robert Hawes, who was part of the consortium, they obviously just hadn't got round to adding him as a director and doing the paperwork. So that now happens. There's five people.
Yeah.
They might have someone else who's got wads of cash under his bedroom mattress. It's where you keep your money, isn't it, now?
It is, everybody does now. Yeah, everybody, post-COVID, just in case. Everybody just keeps in case. Their money under the mattress these days. So the next question that you asked was last season's players, which we still don't know.
No, of course we don't know. And of course they will, obviously, if someone else wants them, they'll be talking to the someone else because, why wouldn't you? Because it's a livelihood.
I haven't seen any of our players being announced anywhere else.
No, but then I haven't seen any players being announced anywhere from anywhere at the moment. Yeah, I think it's still a bit early. The only announcements you're getting, obviously, is retained lists and people leaving. And, you know, like Ryan Brett was a surprise leaving Truro. You know, those are the announcements. Players going from one club to another, I haven't seen any yet. No. So that's not just Torquay.
And contracts don't expire until it's the end of this month, isn't it?
End of this month, I think, I mean, in the Football League, sometimes it's even up until the end of July. However, I think it's this month at our level.
So that's when things will inevitably start moving after the 31st of May.
Yeah.
Young players, because, you know, we talked about this a little bit. The understanding was you thought that a couple of our lads.
I think a couple of ours have been offered something elsewhere. Yeah, and that's not surprising. That happens anyway. Even if Torquay are on top of the world and, you know, or top of the non-league world, there'd still be other teams sniffing around. So, even if Torquay were able to offer the best of the crop from last season. Contracts, they might not have accepted them anyway because they might have had better offers elsewhere. And these could be better offers than Torquay could offer or might be able to offer in the next couple of weeks. Yeah.
It's frustrating, isn't it?
Yeah.
To see players spirited away. It's happened to us in recent years.
Worthington Wellington. Aaron Wellington is his brother. God. Jacob Wellington, I'd like to see given a chance. He looked scarily... quite good. I'm not going to say scarily good, but scarily quite good.
Yeah.
On his league debut against Havant, setting up that goal for Arkell Jude Boyd. I think he looks a decent player.
Something there, isn't it? There's something to work with.
I'm not going to say that I watched the youth team avidly all season like I have done in previous years. But Liam Poole, I'm hearing good reports about. Yeah.
I saw them once, so, you know, hand on heart, I can't really judge, but there look to be some lively, talented players.
Let's hope that one of the first things that happens when the consortium get the club is that they go straight to the youth team players that they want and say, look, here's your deal, and think about it.
And play, you know, every likelihood of playing quite a lot of first-team football next season. Which brings us to the question of the manager.
Thomas Chastey as well is another one, isn't he?
There's a couple. Jack Kennell played well. O'Sullivan's decent. There are some good players in that side. Manager.
I want it to be Aaron Downes. I know that I'm going to get flack for that because I think it's kind of almost a 50-50 split, if I'm honest. Some people liked the way, and this is, I include myself in this, liked the way he conducted himself throughout the time as interim manager. He was honest. He talked well. The results He did enough. Yeah. He did enough to keep us up with a game to go so that we could have that little party on the last day. But others genuinely probably have a good reason for not wanting him around and wanting a fresh start. If you've got a fresh start in the boardroom, I can see an argument for having a fresh start on the pitch as well. And that includes players as well as the manager. I think he did enough. It'd be a shame if we let him go and then he went on to be a decent manager elsewhere. Because let's face it, his hands were extremely tied during that period as interim manager. He couldn't bring any players in.
No,
he couldn't really let any players go because he didn't have enough to let any players go. So I think he needs to be judged on a sounder footing.
Yeah. I agree with you. I think he handled a difficult situation, 12 weeks or whatever it was, extremely well, with his hands tied, pretty much. I would like to see him get a go. But I can see that there are people who think we should have an experienced manager in instead, although Aaron has been an assistant manager for five years.
So
it's not as if he doesn't know how the machine works.
There was a couple of great years with Gary where all the fans were behind him, but a lot of fans did turn on Gary towards the end, and some of those fans see Aaron as part of that problem.
But I mean, football being football, Richard, if we win the first four games next season, that'll win
all forgotten.
Everybody, all everything forgotten. We've forgot. That's what football.
King
like,
Aaron,
isn't it? Yeah, absolutely. Aaron Downs, Yellow Army.
Aaron Ups.
Which also leads, it's almost as if you planned these questions. The one person who is getting mentioned with managers is Paul Watton, by the way, at Truro.
Right, okay.
But there's been no indication.
Well, I'll give him a ring later on. He's quite honest, Paul. He's a really, really good fella. So people keep on talking
about him.
Truro are going back to Truro.
Back to Cornwall.
They're going back to Cornwall. They've done an update on their stand. It's coming together. Whether they start the season there, I'm unsure. We're only a couple of months away now, you know. But I think he'd like to manage Truro back in Truro.
Yeah.
However, Torquay's a bigger club than Truro.
But I think, I mean,
I like him though. He's
a genuine character, isn't he? And he's got Truro at heart.
He talks really
the fans
well.
Love him.
He's one of those managers. I mean, I've worked with as a journalist. Hundreds of managers over the last 25 years, and he's one of those managers that will always pick up the phone.
Yeah.
No matter what's happened. There are plenty of managers who ignore the phone if they've lost.
Yeah, true. Yeah, we've all come
at all different levels.
And he's not one of them.
He's not one of them.
Good for him. Good stuff. Interesting. Which brings us to the off the field structure and Neil Warnock, who remains quite close to the front of people's thoughts, isn't he?
Yeah, I can see him being involved.
Yeah.
Especially now that Mr. Westcott, who he sat next to at three of the last three games of the season, is leading the consortium. Yeah. I can see that there being a place for him. What that place is the question, really, more than anything else.
But can you see him being involved hands-on, 9 to 5?
No.
Day in, day out?
No, I... So he's always said he hates directors of football, hasn't he?
Yes.
In his time as a manager. But I think that is probably the role that would be best suited to a Neil Warnock who lives in Cornwall. So it's not that far away, but it's, you know, do you want to drive up every day at your age? Do you know what I mean?
It's probably closer than driving down from Portishead.
Absolutely.
Or
yeah.
Cheltenham.
He said he doesn't want to be a manager. Yeah. In the past, he said he hated directors of football. Chairman, probably a bit too much of a hands-on role.
Yeah.
Director of football does sound... I mean, whether they call it that...
Yeah, they'll find something.
They'll find another term.
Advisor. Yeah.
Football
or
advisor,
consultant.
Yeah, I can see him being involved.
Yeah.
I can see him being involved. Remember that Aaron Downs was asked last season whether he'd been in contact, or the two of them had spoken. There'd been no contact between the two of them at the end of last season. So he did not have a role in any kind of first team activities last season at the end. So we shall see.
That's what you see. It's fascinating, though.
Advisor.
And it would be...
Football advisor.
It would be kudos for Torquay to have a name involved.
Like and New crikey, what a lot of experience he's got.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah.
If anybody knows how to dig a club out of a hole, Neil Warnock does.
Absolutely.
And he's that's kind of
big
what we
need. Spade.
Indeed. artificial pitch you mentioned in your question. We've talked about this a lot on the podcast in the last few weeks, but it has to be a possibility.
It's got
it?
To be a possibility.
I mean, the grass pitch up there is beautiful.
Julian's done a wonderful job that season.
But from a financial point of view, you'd rip it up.
And you've got schools, you've got local clubs, you've got, you know, all sorts of... I mean, you don't even only have to play football on the bloody thing, do you know what I mean?
That's it, yeah,
there's all sorts of possibilities.
Boot sales back in the day when they were the thing.
There's all sorts of possibilities that you could do with a plastic pitch. I call it a plastic pitch. Obviously, they're a bit more than that now, and they're not, you know, the rubber thing that was at Audley Park when I was a teenager.
Horrible thing that was.
Oh,
scuff your knees. As soon as I
went to Audley Park and we used to play on it. It was absolutely horrifying.
Herald Express used to play on it on late on Monday nights. About the only slot we could book was about 9:30 on a Monday night. Mm. We used to go down and play on there. But interesting. It's one of those things. You talk about Sutton having to take theirs up, but by the time we get back into the Football League,
which is
your next question,
that
might have changed, and B, surely we'll have banked enough money from hiring the pitch out to cover the cost of taking it up again.
I can't confirm where I got this from, so it's not very journalistic, but I seem to remember Sutton saying that they were going to lose £2 million by ripping up their pitch after getting promoted, and then to come back down 2 years later. That's bad management for a start, but that's devastating for a club like that. Because what do they do now? Do they turn around and put another plastic pitch in and hope for the best and try not to go up?
And, of course, it opens the way for a return of Playmore as a music festival venue. Andrew Candy had his music festival there for 2 years, wasn't it?
Just had he chosen better acts. And I'm not getting... I'm nothing against the acts that he chose, but they weren't targeted at the right kind of music fan.
And the
weather. There weren't enough of the people who wanted to see those bands.
The weather was against them the second year. The weather just ruined it.
But and nothing against Squeeze, because they're one of my favourite bands, but people from Squeeze isn't going to feel...
No, maybe not.
Playmore. Maybe. Squeeze might have done, but some people from Squeeze wouldn't do. And I can't remember who was on. And the local bands were the kind of local pub bands. Yeah. They weren't proper...
Steve Craddock was playing the second one, but as far as I remember, that...
See, Ocean Colour Scene would have sold it out, but not someone from Ocean Colour Scene. Not Paul Weller's guitarist, do you know what I mean?
maybe you have to... But you see...
Have to think bigger to actually make money. You can't just... no disrespect to Andrew Candy, but it was his music taste that he was putting on.
Yeah.
And you have to have a lot of people to share your music taste if that's going to work.
Of course, take that a plane at Argyle.
Well, they are, yeah.
This summer, who knows what a plastic pitch could bring to Playmore?
Yeah. There was a Take That tribute band up at the Babbicom Inn. Yeah, not the Babbicom Inn, the Babbicom Theatre the other day.
What were they called? Tell me it was Fake That.
I think it was something like that. I can't remember.
You know, the best one of those is the Bon Jovi tribute band, By Jovi.
By Jovi. I would call them Take That.
Sorry, Ofcom. There was a little bit of a glitch there.
I know, it's my throat,
Football League return was your next question.
Yeah.
Can we? Will we?
I don't think we should be thinking about it right now. I think that is I heard that the consortium that were the old preferred bidders, we talked about that last week.
Last week's previous preferred.
Wanted to be back in the Football League in 2 years.
Yeah, it's a big ask.
Just get everything else done first.
It's a big ask, isn't it?
Get everything else done first. Consolidate. I know it's a ugly football word because it means don't go forward, don't go backwards, but I think we need to do that first before we even think about getting back into the Football League. If it happens on the back of a good run or whatever, then, you know, obviously you celebrate it, but...
I think if you set yourself targets, like setting yourself a 5-year plan,
and it doesn't happen, you're always going to be judged on that. Yeah.
I can see the sense in saying let's get out of National League South.
Yeah, absolutely. That's got to be the first priority.
Getting out of the National League is so difficult.
Yeah.
Even Wrexham stumbled on their way out of the National League. So it's not easy. So that I mean, yes.
First things first is get out of the National South.
Get out of the National South. Yeah. Then think again.
Yeah.
But yeah, pinning all your hopes on a 5-year plan, we will be. I mean, fair play. It was only a couple of penalties that scuppered that and a bad referee.
And a bad referee.
But
hello, bad referee.
Yeah. He listens. Simon Mather. He listens every week, just in case we mention him, I think.
Do you reckon Gary's got a picture of him on his darts board?
Well, you see, I mean, we go back to this again and again, and so many things went wrong, but you can trace it all back
to those terrible disallowed goals.
If it hadn't been for those two mysterious disallowed goals, we wouldn't have gone to penalties. Yeah. If we hadn't gone to penalties, we wouldn't have lost the game. If we hadn't lost the game, we wouldn't have been plunging half a league downwards to the state.
All back to you, Mr. Mather.
So, you know, you can kind of track it back there, but many things have gone wrong since then as well. The Chalky United Supporters Trust.
Yes.
This is interesting because when Michael Westcott's bid was first being discussed, it was a partnership.
They were very open about their bid. Mm. and no one else was. They were the only bidders, consortium or whatever you want to call it, that talked about what they wanted to do. And they did he and Nick Broderick from TUS did quite good interview with Radio Devon before a game where they talked about their plans, their hopes, their dreams. And then, of course, they weren't the preferred bidders. And since they have become the new preferred bidders again, they haven't really been, they haven't been able to say anything. So to say that they haven't included TUST in their plans this time around is it, I know I said it in that piece, but they haven't been able to say anything.
No.
So they haven't been able to discount them either.
So when we do get the press conference, they may well say, by the way, TUST is on board.
Yeah.
We do it. Because, I mean, fair play, TUST aren't saying anything either because it's sensitive. They can't. Yeah. I understand that completely. Yeah. But, I mean, TUST is
but TUST need to put in some money to earn their 50%. The dream is for TUST is that they become 50% owners of Chalky United Football Club alongside the Bryn Consortium. For that to happen, they need to find some serious money from somewhere and quick.
And quick. I was just going to say
now,
and quick.
There is no reason why they can't talk to the Bryn Consortium and say, look, can we up our stake as we go?
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean? As we bring more money in, that's another possibility. To a point where in 3 years' time, they're 50% owners, maybe. All these things are obviously... All these things are probably being talked about, not in a kitchen table like this, but over a boardroom table.
Proper boardroom in somewhere that's all steel and glass.
Probably in a solicitor's office in central London.
I wouldn't be at all surprised. Move from Plainmoor was a question that you asked.
Yeah, I think that's dead in the water, isn't it?
The thing is, Nightingale Park, nothing's happened at Nightingale Park. It's still...
Is it still empty? Empty, but is the plan still there to be...
There's planning permission for...
Not a wind farm, a solar
farm, but nothing's happened.
Why has nothing happened?
I don't know. I should find out, shouldn't I? Yeah. I'm supposed to be the council correspondent. I should, but
you
nothing's
just
happened.
You just hot-footed from a council meeting.
I have hot-footed from a very
meeting.
Interesting council meeting, which you'll read about in a few hours' time. But, I mean, there's nothing there at the moment, and there's nothing to stop...
Wasn't there a problem with the fact that it was an old tip?
Yeah.
And laying a football pitch on that is very difficult.
It is difficult. You have to ventilate it. You have to make sure...
I remember riding my bike around the old tip in 1982 or whatever it was.
It can be done, though. Clennon Valley was an old tip. When I was a kid, Clennon Valley was a landfill.
Yeah.
And when we used to play football on there for the Devonport Arms on Sunday mornings, things used to break through the surface every now and then. You'd get half a brick.
Scary.
Or a bottle top, or even worse, a bit of bottle would come through. But it's now got the Velo Park on it. It's sealed.
Yeah.
You can do things on old tips. I'm just throwing that out there because that land is still theoretically.
I'm still thoroughly annoyed that no one thought about the place where Wickes is now, because that area is huge.
Yeah. Yeah.
And that building is almost as big as a football stadium. Yes. And it would have sat there really well, really good position.
It would.
Still. And with a train station due to be, whenever that happens.
So I mean, but as you said in your piece, there's no indication at all that
they don't seem to be property developers.
And they're playing more.
I might be wrong.
They're playing more people through and through, aren't they? So apparently, I would not expect new stadium to rear its head at all.
No, as long as the council keep their word and Talk United, and no, I say Talk United, are playing at the Plainmoor Stadium, then I'm sure it'll be fine and everyone will want to be there. Talk United being the fact that, you know, it's not necessarily this Talk United.
Which brings us directly to your last question.
Yeah.
What if all this fails? What if
The nightmare scenario. And Talk United go bust.
Everything falls through. Yeah. That the consortium, for whatever reason, isn't able to fulfil its ambitions.
And the administrators, after talking to two separate people, go, well, we just close the company then.
Yeah. Which is possible. Yeah, it's unlikely, but it's possible.
I mean, their major role is to find people to keep the company going as an entity. But they're not... But they're not going to do it. They're not there to save the company from complete destruction.
No.
If they can't find someone who's going to do that.
And they're not, I mean, they're accountants. They're not there to save a football club that the community loves.
They have to do it in a way that's hard but emotionless.
Yeah. And that's difficult with a football team, isn't it?
Yeah, yeah.
That's you know, when you've got thousands of people walking around Torbay in replica shirts,
yeah,
and people who've invested their lives into
oddly,
a football team.
Oddly enough, when the sun comes out and the jumpers come off and the jackets come off, I've seen quite a lot of talkie shirts around the bay in the last couple of days. And honestly, I mean, I was doing bits and pieces yesterday, driving around all over the place, and I saw at least five or six blokes walking around, kids walking around.
It's good. I always like it when you see a bunch of kids, a picture anywhere on social media of a bunch of kids at football training.
And they've got Torquay shirts on.
Yeah, you've got loads of kids in Arsenal shirts and Liverpool shirts and Manchester City shirts. But if you just see a couple of kids in Torquay shirts, it gladdens the heart.
Do you nod? All right.
Yeah.
Well done, son. Do. Well done, lady.
I ran a park run in London on Saturday.
Saw pictures. You like that park run, don't you?
Shirt. I do like that park run. It's a good one. They didn't give me chocolates this time, though.
Oh.
But there you go. I did complain afterwards. I said, good. Well, no, chocolates. Yeah. Because previously I'd been the 100,000th.
Oh, of course you were. Yeah, I remember that. So, yeah.
Which was purely by chance.
Yeah.
No such treatment this time.
No.
So, and if it fails, Phoenix Club, Western League, biggest stadium in the Western League.
Yeah.
Peninsula League, maybe. Yeah. Doesn't really bear thinking about.
It doesn't, but... It's not the worst thing in the world. I know that I could get ripped apart for that, but...
There is a community support for Torquay
AFC
United.
Wimbledon did it.
Yeah.
They managed it.
Macclesfield did it.
Yeah.
Bury
have done it.
Hereford did it.
Yep. I mean, there's lots of teams that have done it, but if you're going to put... AFC Wimbledon were probably the first team to properly do it.
Yeah.
And they did it really well, and now they're in the Football League. So, you know, we're...
Yeah.
It didn't take them long. For eight it's years true. Or something, yeah, I think it might true. Have been, even yeah. if it was that.
Did well. That's all your questions, Richard.
I know. I could have done more, but I was running out of space in the paper. It was literally a space issue.
So a couple of other things we need to talk about. We'll talk about the women's team because they had an incredible comeback in that game at Dawlish.
They had a tough season.
At the weekend. Yeah, they've been relegated.
Yeah, so setting up the last game, they could have survived in... So they were in the National League, bottom rung of the National League.
Yeah.
And the National League is the top echelons of football. So it's the fourth tier in actual fact of... women's football, so that's like if for all us oldies, it's the fourth division,
which is a good place to be.
But they won their place in that easily last year by being very good, and they have found the step up a bit of a problem, whereas Exeter, who are in that same division, won the championship and have gone up to the third tier. Torquay went into the last game needing to win and needing some strange...
Needing other results to go their way. Otherwise.
Yeah.
So they were 5-1 down.
They were.
To Swindon at Dawlish quite late in the game.
Yeah.
Then they scored 3 goals in 3 minutes.
Yeah. Extraordinary stuff.
And made it 5-4 and just for a little while.
Against Swindon Town as well. So that's a big club, really.
Good side. So reasons to be cheerful.
Part three.
Despite relegation. They've done well.
Steve Ellsworthy has come out and done an interview on the Torquay United official site. I noticed it today. I haven't really read for it, but he's obviously a bit shattered by it, but keen to bounce right back, which was kind of what the headline said. So
yeah, and I'm sure they will. And we had some sad news this week. Paul Holmes, he's been at Plymouth. He was actually at the Hampden-Waterlooville game.
Was he?
Yeah, he was there with his wife, Kate, in the company of his great mate, Russell Musker, a Torquay player. He died having suffered from cancer for the last couple of years, died this week. He had 2 spells with Torquay. He came to us from Doncaster Rovers in 1988, stayed till 92, got a good move to Birmingham, and then almost immediately Howard Kendall signed him for Everton.
Yeah, played in the Premiership for Everton.
Yeah, played in the same team as Neville Southall, Dave Watson, players like that.
Yeah.
Played in Europe for Everton. Then moved to West Brom.
Yeah.
And in 1999, 11 years after he first came to Plymouth, he came back
again. He did, in her second spell.
For another quite long spell.
Yeah.
Great player, fullback, endless energy, great passer of the ball. He used to take all the corners for Torquay, and I remember sitting in the press box, in the old press box behind the plate glass window with Dave Thomas, and it was one of those periods in a game when Torquay forced 3 or 4 corners in quick succession and they were on opposite sides.
Yeah.
And poor old Paul Holmes was doing shuttles up and down, taking these corners.
So I was working for the club when he was there the second time. And so I knew Paul, and he was a lovely guy.
Yeah.
Really nice guy. We had 2 good fullbacks in that team, Robbie Herrera and Paul Holmes, 2 experienced fullbacks who had played at a higher level, and he was a genuinely really nice guy, and everyone liked him. And I know that everyone says that when someone dies, but it's genuinely true.
And you have personal experience of working with him and knowing him.
He had an extraordinary right foot.
Yeah.
He could pick out someone from right back and ping the ball 50 yards, 60 yards, and it would land on their big toe.
Yeah.
It was extraordinary. And it didn't actually... It was just the way he struck it was really, really nice. And that was part of a lot of his game, was that beautiful strike of the ball.
And went to Wembley with us twice. He was part of the Sherpa Van team that lost, and he was part of the playoff team when we beat Blackpool.
Yeah. Good player, Great player. Some of his family used to sit in front of my dad and me back in the day.
Yeah.
And they were great people as well. I think it was his wife and his wife's dad that used to sit in front of us.
Sad news, always sad news. If you're at a loose end tomorrow...
Oh, by the way, Steve Harris, I know you sent me some facts about Paul Holmes. I can't look at them. I forgot to write them down. They're on the phone, and I'm recording this podcast on this phone.
How professional are we? If you're at a loose end, Friday night, we're recording this on Thursday. Tomorrow night, 7 o'clock kickoff at Stoke Gabriel, the Herald Cup final.
Yep.
Which has always been one of the biggest dates in local football.
Yeah.
Source of great pride at the Herald Express.
Yeah, we stopped sponsoring it about three or four years ago, but it retains the name. There are people in suits in offices in London who don't know the significance but won't pay for things like that anymore.
We can say this now because we're at arm's length, but when you lose that kind of support for a community event, you start to lose the community, don't you?
People
just can't see that. But Ilsington Villa against Newton 66. Ilsington going for the double, I believe.
Yeah, extraordinary rise from those. Our esteemed colleague, Mr. David Thomas, is a big fan because he lives just down the road.
He does.
And he goes to a lot of their games.
He's going to the final tomorrow. Yeah, so, but it's 7 o'clock. It's a lovely ground, Stoke. It is a nice ground.
Beautiful. You've got a nice balcony to stand on if the sun's out, and lots of car parking space. Should be a good night out.
And it's one of those grounds, when you see pictures, you see every now and then you see in The Guardian or somewhere, you see a photo essay of beautiful football grounds, and they've never yet...
how dare they?
The George Churchwood Memorial Field down at Stoke, but they should.
He was a railway man, wasn't he, George Churchwood?
It's bucolic in the extreme, isn't it?
Yeah, it's a lovely place to go and watch football. You can even sit in the car and watch the game.
It's not going to rain tomorrow.
No.
It's going to be lovely tomorrow, and we'll see you down there. Thanks for listening.
Yeah, it's been another one, hasn't it?
It's been another podcast completely devoid of facts or football.
Or mostly fiction.
Yeah. But thank you for bearing
Maybe
with us.
This time next week we'll be celebrating the new lease of life given to Talk United by the Brin Consortium.
And as soon as we can bring you some news, we will do
that.
We will.
I'll keep making phone calls and I'll keep getting comments.
Keep getting rebuffed.
Yeah.
We'll finish, as we always do.
Come on, you yellows.
Come on, you yellows. Flying high below the Wembley Archway sky today. Come on, you yellows. Full of pride, buckle up.